may stand in this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Try to bring the little thought the Lord has laid up on our heart for this morning, okay? Trust the Lord will give us something we can get a hold of, help us, bless us, or cause us to repent or do something. Good to be saved, isn't it? Well, somebody said it's better than that. Praise God, said God's good. And somebody said He's better than that. And He is. All right, I appreciate you being here. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel, if you would please, in chapter number 4. 1 Samuel and chapter number 4 in the Word of God. And I'm going to read several verses this morning, so you bear right with me as I read our text together. And then hold your Bible open, because I'm going to be referring to Scripture in 3 or 4 different chapters here that's close by where we're going to be taking our text from, okay? In verse number 1 of 1 Samuel, chapter number 4, the Bible said, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched in Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us. And when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring forth from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubim. Amen. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us! There hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye may be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.' And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen." I want to stop right there for a minute. I want to read on, but I want to stop there for a minute and make this statement. When the Ark of the Covenant came in to the host of Israel, that ark represented a type of the presence of God. Amen. And the Bible said that a great shout went up. Israel got real excited, didn't they? They got real excited. I mean, they shouted and carried on, and the shout was so loud that it rang out through the mountains and the valleys, and all the Philistines heard it, and it put a fear into them. But there was only one thing wrong. There wasn't no God in the shout. Amen. There wasn't no God in the shout. And there was no God in Israel. Amen. On that day. For once again, they were defeated and they fled from before their enemies. Amen. Verse 11 says, "And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Good. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. I'm not going to get to this either, but I want to mention this. Did you notice where Eli was sitting? The Bible said he was sitting on a seat by the wayside. Do you know what happens to the Word of God when it's sown on the wayside? The fowls of the air come and devour it. Tells me that Eli wasn't getting much from God where he was at. If I can spiritualize it that way. And it said in verse 14, and when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when they made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, and I always mispronounce this word in its place, I'm going to say that she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Now may God add His blessing to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in church again today in the house of God. Be with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in Sunday school and the opportunity we've had to hear the Word of God and sing the songs of faith. I do pray now, Lord, for Your divine presence and help. I pray for Your power and Your grace, Your mercy. I'd ask You to touch every heart that's in here today and those by the radio. How we need You one more time, Lord, to come in great power and send revival to Your people, to stir up our hearts that we might love Thee one more time with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. I pray now, Lord, that You do a great work, redeeming the souls of sinners and blessing the hearts of Your people, touching the sick and helping them, help those that are traveling. Give us liberty and free course in here today. I pray for anointing from the Spirit of God. I'd ask You, Lord, to fill me with the Holy Ghost and let me preach a little to Your people and be a blessing and a help to them. I pray You'll help me to go through the Scripture the way You've given it to me and be a blessing, and we'll thank You and praise You for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our last two verses, of course, in our bulletin this morning, and I'm sure you already understand that's our text verse for today, where the Bible said, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. And I'm sure that most of us realize that the ark of God, when it dwelt in the tabernacle, always had the glory of God that dwelt above the mercy seat between the cherubims. And it always represented the presence of Almighty God to the people of Israel. And here Israel has went out to battle and against the Philistines. And in that battle, they were defeated. And the ark of God was taken into the camp of the Philistines, a pagan country, a pagan people, a heathen people. And so we might say that the presence of God went with them and was taken from the house of Israel. And when word came to Eli, who was a priest in those days, the Bible said that he fell off that seat backwards when he heard that his two sons were dead and the ark had been taken. And his neck broke because he was a big man, a large man. And his daughter-in-law was with child. And it grieved her to the point when she knew that her husband was dead and the ark of God was taken, that she named that child Ichabod. Ichabod. And the word literally means unglorious. Unglorious. That is, there's no glory. There's no glory. And so she called that child Ichabod because there was no glory left in Israel at that time. Now, I want to try to preach to you for a little while this morning, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, and preach on the thought, what to do when the glory is gone. I've never preached this before, but God gave me this thought on Friday night. I think Brother Gray thought that I left over here mad at him, but I'm telling you, God hit my heart, and I had to get home. And I want to preach on that thought for a little while. What to do when the glory is gone. Now, if you've read your Bibles, and I trust you have, you really realize, you know, that the early years of Samuel's life were spiritually dark days in the nation of Israel. And they were dark days. And the reason being is because they immediately followed the days of the judges. The Bible said in the days of the judges, there was no king, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. You know, I want to say this morning that when every man does that and it was right in his own eyes, when he has no leader or else the man that's there to be a leader is not leading, there's bound to be problems. When people do that which is right in their own eyes, very little is going to be accomplished. You know, when it's in that situation, there's no unity whatsoever. I sat at the house this morning and just thought on this for a moment. It's kind of a crude illustration. But I thought, what if we were going to build a new church, a new sanctuary for the saints of God to build in, to worship in? And we came to the field up there and every one man said, well, I think I'll start doing this. And I'll start laying the foundation. Another man said, no, we don't want to lay the foundation. He said, I'm going to start framing it. And another man said, no, we can't do that. I'm going to start putting in the plumbing. And another man started doing this. And another man started. And every man did that which he thought was right in his own eyes. You know what you'd accomplish? Nothing. You know what you'd have when you got done? A mess. Because there was no leader. And everybody was doing that which was right in his own eyes. May I say to you that God wants His people to be in unity. God wants His people to be in one mind and in one accord in their Christian life and in their work and their endeavors in the house of God. But that cannot be done when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And the reason that says there was no king in Israel, in other words, there was no man to lead them. Every man did that was right in his own eyes. And so there was no unity. And then I want to say secondly, that not only was there no unity, but the land was full of confusion. Can you imagine that? Everybody doing something that they think is right in their own eyes, doing it the way that they think it ought to be done. Can you imagine the confusion that there would be in the land? What kind of confusion would we have in the house of God if each one of us came in? By the way, that's what the Corinthian church was doing. That's why Paul said, brethren, how come every time you come together, you've got a psalm, a hymn, a prayer, a song. Every one of you have got something to do or something to say. They were all doing that which was right in their own eyes. And why don't we come into the house of God on every Lord's Day and every man begin to try to take control and do that which was right in his own eyes rather than follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, we'd be in mass confusion. And I'm telling you, a nation that's doing that, they're in mass confusion. And by the way, America is in mass confusion today. Now I'm going to tell you why. You don't have to read the news or read the paper very little to understand that people in our political arena, not just local, but national as well, they're all trying to do that which is right in their own eyes, and there's no unity, there's no harmony, there's no sense of accord whatsoever, and we're in a state of confusion in America. And most of our churches are in a state of confusion because each man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, and there's no sense of direction that we have from Almighty God, because men, rather than following the Holy Ghost, are doing that which is right in their own eyes. I won't say to you, we do that which is right in our own eyes instead of following God, we're in big trouble. We start trying to make our own decisions and follow ourselves and have self-control, we're in big trouble. Brother, it's time that we backed off and gave God the opportunity to control and lead His people in the house of God one more time. Israel wasn't that way in these days. Every man was doing that which was right in their own eyes. There was no unity. They were living in a state of confusion. And then I want you to notice this also. The sacrifice, or should I say the offering of the Lord, was abhorred. Look what the Bible said in chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "Wherefore the sin of the men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Can you imagine that? That men brought their offerings to the house of God, and that offering was abhorred in their own eyes. That is, they despised to give it. They did not want to give it. You know why? They were not following the instructions of God on what God had set aside for the priest. God had set a certain amount aside for the priest, but that did not satisfy Eli and Hophni. They sent their servants with a hook, and they would throw that hook into that cauldron, and whatever came out, that's what they took. And if they didn't want sodden meat, you can read the account of it. If they didn't want sodden meat, if they wanted fresh meat, they'd say, "No, give us fresh meat." Said the priest wants fresh meat that he might roast it. And the Bible said that if those people did not give them that meat, that they would take it from them. Now I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say, friend. It's a sad day in America when the men of God are so unconcerned about the people that they will force them to give what they do not have to give unto the Lord, if I can put it that way. That's exactly what Hophni and Phinehas were doing. They were forcing the people to give beyond what they were not called upon to give by the Lord. And they abhorred that giving. They abhorred that sacrifice. They abhorred that offering. They didn't want to come to the house of God and give any offering because they were forced into giving more than what they were supposed to give. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a firm believer in tithing. I'm a firm believer in giving to missions. I'm a firm believer in giving to help the church in a time of need when the church has gotten. I'm a firm believer in giving special offerings. And we might want to build something or buy something. I don't have any problem with that. But I'm telling you, when we force people to give what the Bible does not declare them to give, it's not going to be long until they're going to get fed up with it and they're not going to give it all. I'm telling you, I've heard a lot. I've been in camp meetings and I've heard people say, "I'm not going back there again," or "I'm not going here again," because all they want to do is sit around and take up money. Well, I'm not opposed. I love to give myself. I don't have any problem with giving. But, you know, you wouldn't have to beg for it if people just give voluntarily. But the problem is the people feel like it's being forced upon them, and they're not going to give if they feel like they're being forced to do something. I don't know how you are, but I know I'm a man. And you put me in a corner, friend. I'm going to come out swinging. If it's something, I'm talking about spiritually, if it's something I feel like I don't have to do, and you're trying to force me into it, we got problems on our hands.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. So they abhorred the offering. This ain't the message. I'm trying to get to the message. Then I want to say also that the sanctuary of the Lord was polluted. Somebody said, well, what do you mean the sanctuary of the Lord was polluted? The Bible said that the sons of Eli committed adultery with the women that stood by the door of the tabernacle. Now, here is my question. What were the women doing down there to begin with? I have no earthly idea. But they gathered at the door of the tabernacle. And here is the priest of the Lord are committing adultery with women, not just committing adultery, but they're committing adultery in the very house of God. In Shiloh. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about a polluted church. Well, that was one of it. Ain't no wonder that God withdrew His presence and power from off Israel when their priests, when His priests are committing adultery right in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm gonna rob this. I'm gonna steal it. It's fair game. What brothers did? They said anything. Told me one day, they said, preacher, I said, whose food's this? They said, if it's left back here, it's fair game. Take whatever you want. So I took them up on that. Whatever I see back there I won't eat, I just eat it. And so it's fair game on what you hear, too. And here's what Brother Steve told me the other day. He read that one of the old diviners wrote in one of the books. He said, if a man was to go into his prayer closet, and he goes in there with thoughts of another woman on his mind, that he just might as well carry a whore into the prayer closet. So that's what he's doing. Now I'm telling you, you're not going to carry a woman of adultery into the prayer closet of God and ever expect to get anything from the Lord. I'm telling you, God had withdrawn His presence and written Ichabod upon those people because of the sins they committed in the house of God. Wouldn't you write about it?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I know a man that stood in this pulpit. Stood right here in this very pulpit and preached. And I learned 2 years later that he had sex with a woman in his church in the pews of the church. In the fellowship hall. Come on now. Somebody said things like that don't happen these days. You just think they don't. I'm telling you, there are some wicked-minded men and women out there, buddy, and it don't matter where they're at. When they get ready to do something, they'll do it. Don't matter if it's a house of God or where, they'll do it. You know why? They got the mind of an animal.
Amen.
Well, I see some of you. Hey, brother, wrong. Now, listen carefully. Also, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And that's what it says in chapter 3 and verse 1. Said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And that word precious literally means that it was rare. And if it was rare, that means that it was valuable. Anything that's rare, like gold, has got a high value to it. The word of the Lord, in other words, God wasn't saying much in those days. So here's what I wrote down. When God said something back then, it would have benefited them greatly not only to have heard what God said, but to heed what God said. Now I want to say to you, we're just about to get there in our churches today. There is no open vision that I know of in the houses of God that I'm aware of today, friend. The Word of God is very precious. I'm talking about it's getting very seldom do you ever go to a meeting and hear a man get up in a meeting that's got the power and the glory of God in his soul and able to exhort the people and preach to the people until something gets done in the house of God. We're that way. You better believe we are. So if you hear it, buddy, you better not only hear it, you better heed it. It's pretty precious today. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there ain't much going on today. People might talk about it going on, but it's not going on. I don't know, not here or anywhere else. I'm not saying it is here. I'm saying everywhere. The glory hath departed. The glory hath departed from Israel. Come on, church. Look back a few years. Go back a few years and look where we were. Let your heart just go back. And let your mind reminisce for a little while on what there once was. Oh. But we can't live off of what there once was. We've got to live off of what there is.
Amen.
Praise God. It's just like food. I can't live for a month on one meal. I mean, you got to eat from day to day.
Yep.
That's right. And we can't live off of that. But I'm telling you, what we had then is gone. And if it was glory, then we can honestly say, Ichabod, the glory hath departed.
Yep.
Now, what are you going to do when the glory is departed? I'm not going to be very long, I can tell you that. What's a man going to do when the glory is departed? Now, I want to say, and I love this, it's very simple, but I'm going to tell you one thing we're going to have to do, keep preaching.
Amen.
Isn't that deep theology? When the glory is departed, we're just going to have to keep on preaching. And I'm going to tell you where I get that. I get that out of chapter number 3. The Bible said in verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. Brother, I'm telling you, it may have been dark days in Israel. But I'm telling you, that light was still burning in the tabernacle. And before that light ever went out, the Bible said God called Samuel. Eli had done sinned against God, and his posterity had been taken from him. His boys had been pronounced death upon them. But yet God called Eli, son, before the light ever went out in the temple. And you mark her down. I'm about ready to get happy now. You mark her down. I don't care how dark she gets in America, somewhere, someplace. God will have a man somewhere that's under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost that'll preach the Word of God to somebody. You better believe he will. He'll keep on preaching. Hallelujah. Men giving up preaching all over the country.
Amen.
Setting little rostrums out in front of them and they become teachers. But the people like it that way, they got itching ears. You know, that's what I'm saying. They got itching ears and they want teachers. They don't want preachers. They don't want anybody to get up and tell them about their sin. They don't want to go away from church feeling bad. They want to go feeling good. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it helps we go away feeling bad. It may help us to search our heart and find out what's going on in our life. Amen. That's right. May God help us. Just keep on preaching. Paul told old Timothy, said, Timothy, preach the word. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. Where you at, John? John came out of the wilderness. The Bible said he came out preaching. The Bible said Jesus got under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. And when he come out of preaching. I'm going to tell you, he called men to preach. Hey, that's right, exactly right. It's preaching. I love preaching. Are you like me? I am one. Hallelujah to God. Ain't nothing ever take the place of preaching. I'm telling you, when the glory is gone, if preaching won't preach her down, nothing will, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say this. What did Jesus say he was? He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm what? I'm the light of the world. Ere the light went out in the temple. Woo! Now, I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me that old Samuel was not only just a priest, but he was to preach Christ.
Right.
Folks, you can preach whatever you want to preach, but I'm going to tell you, if you want the glory, carry me back to Calvary. Take me back to the cross where Jesus died.
Amen.
If that don't bring down the glory, I'm going to say they won't nothing bring her down. That light may have been flickering, but it hadn't gone out. And boy, she may be a flickering here, but it ain't gone out.
And today I want to carry you back to Calvary one more time and see if Christ can warm our cold heart when we stop to meditate upon the love of God that was shed abroad in our heart when Christ died and gave His life and made it a sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah to God. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Somebody say amen.
That's right. Brother, preaching Christ and Him crucified, the hope of the world. Hallelujah. The sinless one. Dying for sinners. He that knew no sin was made to be sin. Oh, and I just thought of this. They that sat in darkness, bless God, now the light has sprung up. Amen. Hallelujah. And a light amongst the Gentiles is what the Bible said. I'm glad, thank God, that that light of Israel also shined us Gentile dogs. Amen. God was able to bring us the gospel as well as them. Thanks be unto His wonderful name. Amen. So we're going to have to preach Christ. Him crucified, the hope of the world. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, where's that glory at? I'm going to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and let us not rob Him of His glory. Let us realize how low we are. Nothing's and nobody's, and make Him everything. You know what, brother? And Brother Gray said something good the other day. For a change. We're going out there to hunt. And I said, Brother Gray, I prayed, Miss Hall told me she'd eat it, fix it, cook a turkey and eat it, help me eat a turkey if I get it. And I said out there the other day, I said, you can tell how my prayer, I said, I didn't even see a turkey. You can tell my prayers ain't getting nowhere. He said, preacher, he said, I'm telling you, I prayed the same thing and I didn't see anything either, so my prayers ain't getting nowhere either. And we sat there a minute and he said, you know what it is? He said, we're praying with them caps on. He said, the Bible said a man ought not to pray covered. A man ought to pray to God uncovered. He said, we ain't going to get a hold of heaven sitting out there with them caps on praying to God. And you say, well, you're crazy. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's the Word of God. We're not to pray covered. Can I say this to you? Wow! And it's about to get to a place where it burns me up. When I was a boy growing up, we were taught when a man come in a house, inside the house, he took his cap off. When a man sat down to eat, he took his cap off. If a man went into a restaurant and sat down to eat, he took his cap off. Now these silly little egg suckers come in with their hats on sideways and flop down in a plane and never, even a hog grunts before it eats, and some of them sit down and don't even grunt. Hat on sideways and sit there and pray. It ain't no wonder God's left people. And if you ask one of them, they'd tell you, oh yeah, I'm a member down here at so-and-so church. Well, did your preacher ever teach you how to wear a cap? You know what direction you're traveling? Well, yeah, I'm going this way. Well, how come your cap pointing that way? Amen. We're not sure how I got off on all that. But I won't say we're to preach Christ. I'll say, secondly, we ought to preach convictions. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Here's Eli and Hophni, the two priests of God, committing adultery right in the house of, right at the house of God in Shiloh. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to have the glory of God if we don't keep on preaching our convictions in the house of God. I'm talking, what do you mean, Brother Hall? I'm talking about preaching standards.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't like to preach against television. Well, he said, David said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. You can't get much wickeder than that.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you all. We was coming home last night. Jessica was in the truck with us. Brother Gray, we were talking about the cover and uncover, and Brother Joel said, if I understand it right, said Jessica, said, when you bow down to pray, your hair ought to be long enough that it ought to fall over your head, your face, and your face be covered. I said, ain't many of them today going to be able to do that, boy. Ain't many of them today got that kind of hair on their head. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, don't get so point blank. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Paul said the woman's hair is given to her for her glory.
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe when you whack it off, you cut off your glory.
Amen.
Now, you can take that ever how you want to say it. Don't make a bit of difference to me.
Amen.
I could care less.
That's right.
Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
But I'm talking about preaching conviction. I've got some. Amen. That's right. I think we'll dress right in the house of God and dress right when we're out there. If all we do is put on the right kind of clothes when we're in here, we're hypocrites.
Amen.
That's right. I went down there the other day. And they wanted to take my blood. The little old girl started taking my blood. She had a little old tattoo there on her arm. And I looked at it and I said, ma'am, I said, could I ask you what that little tattoo is? She said, yeah, it's a little teddy bear. Said, I put it there for my little boy. Said, he's my little teddy bear. And I thought, well, I can halfway understand. She said, I got six more. She said, I got three of them. I said, that's enough. I said, why do y'all do that? She said, well, I think they're pretty. But I'm telling you, most of them I've seen ain't too pretty. Most of the tattoos that I see on young men today look like nothing but a bunch of blue lines running all up and down their arms and their necks and everywhere else. Don't look too pretty to me. And I'm going to tell you something. God said, as a child of God, we're not to mark our body. And I'm just being honest with you. I got two homemade ones, one on each arm. I put this one over here on myself. Another guy put this one on. And I don't wear a long sleeve shirt all the time because I'm spiritual. I don't want nobody to see them stupid things. If I ever get the money, I'm going to have them taken off. That's right. I'm going to have to cut, bless God, down to the bone. Amen. Got my knife. Come on, Brother Jerome. I'm tough, but I ain't that bad. Praise God. I'm talking about preaching convictions. When old Samuel come on the scene, I guarantee you, that whoremongering around the gate of the house of God come to a halt. People no longer did that, what was right in their own eyes. They begin to follow Samuel and his word.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me? I want to say, thirdly, not only preach Christ and preach convictions, but we ought to preach the cause. What do you mean the cause? Well, the Philistines had set themselves in array against them. Now, I know you ain't going to like this. But the Bible, the Philistines are always a type of the flesh. They had a cause. They were under the thumb of the Philistines. Already, not about to be, they were there. They were paying tribute to the flesh. They were under that thumb. Oh, I wonder how many people today are under the thumb of the flesh. Rather than doing what the Bible says or what God calls us to do, what the Holy Ghost in our soul tells us to do, the flesh has still got us under the thumb. And we just can't live without things that we think we got to have according to the flesh. I'm talking about carnal things. When we think carnal things, talk carnal things, go to places that's full of carnality in the flesh. I'm telling you what the flesh done to Samson. Burned his eyes out and put him in shackles. I'm going to tell you what the flesh done to David. It brought a curse on his family for four generations. That's right. I'm telling you, you ought to watch that flesh, friend. I'm going to tell you what it did to Solomon. It caused the wisest man in all the world to look like a fool in the eyes of the people because he loved many wives and he did everything that he could. He tried everything under the sun to try to find happiness. And he finally realized there is no other happiness but in the Lord. I'm telling you, people today are trying everything in the flesh they can try. What are you? Oh, I can't say that. I'm going to say, What about all this crowd that's devious out there? I'll put it like that. Let your mind wander a little bit. Flesh! That's what. Well, I better get off that. I want to say number two. We don't need to keep on preaching. There's a cause. Preach Christ, preach conviction, preach your cause. But I'm going to tell you, we better keep the light burning in the tabernacle. That verse said, and ere the light went out in the temple of the Lord. Somebody said, what do you mean keep the light burning in the tabernacle? Hey, I'm talking about don't let the Spirit of Christ die in the church.
Amen.
Well, we can come to church and do a lot of other things, but don't let the Spirit of Christ die in here. Man, we don't come to church just to be coming. We come to worship Him. We come to adore Him. We come to bow before Him. Amen. We come to honor Him. Praise God. We come to worship God. That's our purpose for being here. Let's not lose the Spirit of Christ in the house of God. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going off on a bunch of other junk. I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified. Do my best to preach Christ in here. And if I want to shout, I'm going to shout. If I want to take a lap, I'm going to take a lap. If I want to run down them pews, I'm going to run down them pews. Amen! Don't lose the Spirit of Christ in the house of God! And you don't have to do that. Keep the Spirit of Christ. Keep Him in your heart.
Amen.
Bring Him to church with you.
Right.
How does Christ get in this building? He don't live in this building.
Right.
They call it the house of God. He don't live in this building.
Right.
He lives in us.
Amen.
We bring Him here.
Right.
And what we see in Him here will be what we bring here.
Amen.
How much of Him do we bring here?
Amen.
Whatever amount of Him we bring here is how much of Him we're going to have here. Are you listening? Keep the Spirit of Christ in the church, folks. Keep on thanking Him. All things give thanks. I wonder what happens on Sunday if every time morning when we walk through the doors, if everybody just stops and say, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. They just walk on into the church. I wonder if that changed anything.
Amen.
I believe He said, enter my courts with thanksgiving.
Yes,
woo! And He said, courts. Plural.
Right.
He's talking about the foyer and the sanctuary.
Amen!
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, He's talking about the inner. I know what He's talking about. He's talking about the outer court and the inner court. I'm not dumb. I'm playing that way today. And I'm going to tell you what we need to have. We need to keep that light burning. We need to keep Christ in the church and keep that light burning. One reason we need to keep that light burning? The Bible said that no man, Jesus said this, that no man lighteth a candle and putteth under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick so that it will light up every man that comes into the house. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need enough of the light of God in here that will light our soul up. And when a sinner comes in here, it will light him or her up as well. Somebody say amen right there. Keep the light of burning. Oh, you sing that old song, keep the light of burning, keep the light of burning. Don't ever let that light go out. And by the way, there was one ordinance, not to take you back, one sacrifice, take you back to the book of Leviticus and show it to you if I had time to do that, that the fire was to burn continually on the altar. Continually. A fire, a light, continually on the altar. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. I feel like I could run my head through a wall. Then I want to say thirdly, we need to keep praying. Keep praying. Somebody said, preacher, where do you get that at? Look at chapter 7. And look at verses 8 and 9. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, this is after they've got the ark back now. Children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it a burnt offering. A burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, you see any difference in that than what I was preaching a while ago? He took the whole offering. It was all God. It was His offering. Priest didn't get one piece of it. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we need to give our lives back to Him wholly. He didn't want part of us. He wants all of us. That offering was holy unto Him. Now I'm telling you, when we come to the house of God, we better come and give ourselves holy unto God. We don't come to play bingo. We don't move the chairs and stack them up and dance the jig in here like some folks do in their churches. We don't have square dances and karaoke, whatever that is. I don't even know what karaoke is, but I know a lot of folks do it. I don't even know what it is. Karaoke or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I don't know how to announce that word. And I praise God, I'm glad I don't. How do you pronounce it, Michelle? Karaoke. Karaoke. That sounded like some kind of a covered dish to me. What did you bring for dinner today? Karaoke pudding. Oh boy. What'd you get into that? We don't do none of that stuff here. We don't have Easter egg hunts. We don't have Santa Claus. We certainly don't have the Easter bunny. That's the stupidest mess I've ever heard in my life. Used to have a rabbit that laid eggs. Now they got a rabbit that lays eggs and hangs them on a tree from a string. Pretty good rabbit there, boys. Don't do none of that stuff. Why don't we, Brother Hall? Just what I told you. We come and give our all to God. Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank God. I'm telling you, He's worthy. But here's the thing. And when he offered that holy unto the Lord, the Bible said that Samuel cried unto the Lord. Then watch that next part says, and the Lord heard him. I'm going, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying when the glory is gone, keep on praying, church. Keep on praying. Hey, they wrote Icky Bod on there, but I'm here to tell you when old Samuel got to preaching and when the crowd got to praying, you know what? God showed up. Woo! God showed up again. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll not always chide with His people. He'll not always forsake His people. Stand it somewhere in the shadows, you'll find it, church. Just look for it. I guarantee he's around here somewhere today. I know him. I wish I could jump up on this egg, suck a thing out, it turned over. Amen to God. I know he's around here because I feel him in my soul. Amen. That's right. Now, he cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard him. So we need to pray holy. And with a whole heart. Then we need to pray willingly. Samuel was not forced to pray. He was entreated to the Lord and the people. He wasn't forced to pray. Do you feel like when you pray that you're just forced to do it? You just feel like you just have to do it? I'm going to tell you, when we pray, we don't pray because we want to do it. Because we desire to do it. Because there is a one in our heart to communicate with Him. That's right. And we know that prayer pleases Him. And by the way, we know that God answers prayer. Why shouldn't we pray? Why wouldn't we want to pray? The Bible said Samuel prayed and the Lord heard him. Isn't that good? Not just pray holy, but to pray willingly. Now think about little old Hannah. The same book in the Bible. See, when Ichabod was on Israel, God raised up a Hannah, a woman. Somebody said, well, Samuel is the one that got the glory back. But if it hadn't been for a Hannah, there wouldn't have been no Samuel.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said, God can't use a woman. Don't tell me that. I don't believe women preachers.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, God can use a woman. I can take you a lot of places in the Bible. I'm going to tell you what. He'd have had a hard time bringing Jesus into the world without a woman, wouldn't he now?
Amen.
Hannah prayed. God used her. God used Elizabeth. God used Ruth. God used Naomi. And we're going down the line. Get some of these women stirred up praying. If we get some of the women stirred up praying, maybe old Samuel will get up and pray a little while.
Amen.
Don't matter her husband, by the way. Then I want to say, too, or to pray warmly. Somebody said, pretty well, you mean what I'm talking about with a broken heart?
Amen.
I'm talking about having a burning desire, having an urgency. I'm talking about praying with tears. Pray with a warm heart, not some old cold, calloused heart that hadn't been in the Bible for 6 months. Come and try to pray. I'm talking about with a warm heart. Getting in that book and letting Jesus warm us just a little bit. Pull around on our cords down in there, the deep down in there. Pull on them hard enough till it makes that juice run out the corners of the eyes. Oh, I like to see praying going on when it makes juice run out the corner of our eyes. And I don't even mind a little snot running out your nose. I've cried enough before my nose has run. Now sometimes it wasn't praying, but I was crying nonetheless. Pray warmly. And I want to say lastly, what to do when the glory is gone? We need to lament after the Lord. Look at chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill of, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. You know what that word lament means? It means to assemble and make proclamation. It means to wail. I started to say wail, but it's wail, I hope. It means to weep and to express sorrow audibly. I wonder when the last time was that we prayed. And somebody got up from praying. You could hear them praying all over the building. They got up with tears in their eyes. You knew that they had been with God. And they looked up into heaven and said, God, where are you today? Why are you not in our midst today? Why is your presence not with us? Have you written Ichabod on us, Lord? I've never gotten over that story, and I've told it so many times, but I've never gotten over that story, James, of Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell was in a meeting somewhere on a platform, and he was getting ready to preach, and he told the man next to him, he said, I've got to go. The man said, now? And he said, now. He said, God's calling me to go to the island of Lewis. And he got up and left immediately. He made plans to go to the island of Lewis right off Scotland. And when he got there, according to the story, his story, he knocked on the door and said, the old man at the door invited him to come on in. He said, come in, Mr. Campbell. That I've been waiting on you for a long time. God working on both ends of the stick. And he said he went to church that night. And people gathered together. And said, Duncan Campbell said he preached and said he felt nothing. Felt no God. Feel like God was within 1,000 miles. And he said within his own heart, surely I've missed the will of God in coming to this island. And he said he walked down off of the platform, and that old deacon was walking along with him. And I don't know why, but the man apparently had a hat on, or he had just put it on to leave or something. And said the man stopped. He took his hat off. He bowed. And he said, Mr. Campbell, remove your hat, sir. For God is hovering above, and he'll be here any minute now. Duncan Campbell said, I thank God that there was a man there that was clear, nearer to God than what I was.
And said, I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, I still don't see or feel a thing. And he said, when they opened the door, if you'd see that little building, if you just see that little building they were in, it looked like a rock pile outside. He said, all over in front of that building, around that building, was people on their knees, crying, calling out to God to have mercy on them.
Amen.
And mercy on their children. It goes on to tell about young people that got saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the presence of God move through this place like that?
Amen.
I mean, in such great power. I'm not talking about something foolish. I'm not talking about something fleshly. I'm talking about the real thing. For God to move through this place. Now our young people get born again by the grace of God. Get on fire for the Lord. And us adults just get on fire for God. And our hearts burn for Him. I'm just telling you, you'd be surprised the change you make. If our hearts would just burn for Him. Like those men on the road to Him, as they said, did not our hearts burn within us? He spoke to us along the way. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see that one more time? I believe it would be.
Amen.
And we're missing a lot.
Yes, sir.
But I still believe it's standing somewhere in the shadows.
Amen.
God's hanging around. He's not gone yet.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. You hear what I'm telling you well. Don't take God for granted. Don't presume upon God.
Because
He'll go and come as He pleases. Like the wind for Him. And He will depart from His own people for a season.
Amen.
Better believe He will. I can prove you that over and over in the book. Ichabod. The ark of the God that dwelleth between the cherubim is now in the camp of the Philistines. And the priests are dead. And she said, Ichabod. It's His name, for the glory of the Lord hath departed from Israel. Has the glory departed from you personally? Or is it still with you?
Amen.
Let's stand together.